So good, so good, so good.
Easter deals starting at just $25 are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means tons of fresh reasons to rack.
They've got the best gifts.
Because I always find something amazing.
Save on Easter finds from Kate Spade, New York, Calvin Klein, MAC Cosmetics, and more. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Tired of listening to the same old playlists or podcasts over and over? Maybe it's time to mix things up. Try something new. Hit explore. Avoid the blah and the boring before you even put your headphones in. Add some fun in the mix. Say yabba dabba doo to a bowl of Pebbles cereal and enjoy by the spoonful. Fruity and cocoa Pebbles cereal. Less blah, more yabba dabba doo. Head to your nearest grocery store to buy Pebbles cereal today. The Flintstones and all related characters and elements. Copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
When is the right time to give a child a smartphone? And if you do, how do you protect them from online exploitation? Well, to try and answer these questions, we're joined by Richard Hogan, Clinical Director of the Therapy Institute, author of Parenting the Screenager and columnist with the Irish Examiner. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I suppose the first question I should ask you, you know, on the basis of do as I do, not do as I say, what did you do?
Very good question. Well, I've got an 11-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 5-year-old. So for my own children, they haven't got smartphones yet. And I would always say to parents, you know, the really important thing here is, you know, with children, it's always important that we look at the children that we have in front of us, and we have to think, have they displayed good risk-averse thinking, or have they showed low impulse control? And I think as a blanket kind of statement here, I would always say children shouldn't get smartphones before they go into secondary school. So around 12 years of age, 13 years of age, is where smartphones start to come into your life as a parent.
Okay, now just to clarify, you're saying that irrespective of how mature they might be, a good general rule, without exception, should be no smartphone until you're in secondary school.
Yeah, I think that's a very strong basis to parent this. And because, Pat, the reality is, once you take that smartphone into your life, you take everything the phone has to offer into your life. And children are generally too young to understand and to think their way out of problems that might come as a result of this. And there's small little problems like, you know, being excluded, and you see on Snapchat pictures of your friends down in a restaurant and you're not invited. And that causes huge problems for young children because they can't manage that sense of being excluded. But there's much more serious issues, and that's been exploited online.
Okay, now let's go back to that level of maturity. So your child is in secondary school, he or she, and you feel they're a bit of a flibbertigibbet. They're not the kind of sensible, mature child everyone wants to have. How do you deprive them of access to a smartphone if, for example, the older brother and sister got one at 12, or all the mates in the class have a smartphone?
That's what happens. And I mean, that happens earlier and earlier, Pat. That's happening in fifth class and sixth class, that all the friends have them, and parents feel under real pressure to give the smartphone because they feel their child has been excluded. And I've experienced that myself as a parent. And I think if you have a child who has displayed poor judgment and impulse control, and that they don't seem to have good risk adverse thinking, I would say that child needs to be more supervised. It mightn't be able to deny them the phone, because if you do, you can cause the child huge problems and ruptures in their social world. The reality is, this is how teenagers communicate now. This is how teenagers, it's a part of their interpersonal relationships, the phone, the device, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, that's all a part of their life now in secondary school. And so maybe more than depriving it, it's about parenting it more closely. Because research would show you, Pat, that a child that is supervised and supported online is less likely to make risky or get involved in risky behavior.
Now, how do you police all of this? How do you supervise? Because kids are very good at getting around restrictions imposed by their parents. I mean, is it the device itself? Is it some sort of software that allows you to manage and manipulate?
Well, there's loads of software available for Pat for parents to be able to turn off the device at a certain time, to put in a certain amount of hours that they can use over the course of the week. Parents can be very involved in it like that. But ultimately, Pat, here, what any of us want to do as parents is to develop our children and to teach them so that they can make the right decisions when we're not around. And that's a crucial thing, so that we develop their ability to manage the phone and to be responsible for what it's going to bring into their lives. That's ultimately the most desirable goal. But we can, of course, download software that helps us to monitor what's going on on in their lives. But ultimately, we want them to be able to make the right decisions when we're not there.
And now, there was a time when, you know, you had to wear Abercrombie and Fitch if you wanted to fit in the, certainly in the leisure time. Now, is there kind of the same sort of brand awareness of smartphones?
Oh, there absolutely is. There absolutely is. And I hear it from my 11-year-old, you know, and it's iPhone. It's absolutely the, it's, it, that's the Nike, let's say. And that's a huge pressure on parents because they're so expensive. And then it's about, you know, paying for the billing of the thing and, you know, getting credit. It's a huge pressure on parents. There's no doubt about it. This brings a lot of pressures into a parent's life. And I would say hold off as long as you can, because once you open the dam, there's no going back.
Now, the online exploitation of children, I mean, there are those strangers in our midst who will masquerade as something they are not. So what happens when a child gets a communication from someone who masquerades as a pal, and maybe not a known pal, but someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows you? How do you help your child to police that, him or herself?
Well, that's the crux of the issue, Pat. That's a very serious situation that happens in children's life, and it's happening more and more. And especially with lockdown in America, there was a 26% increase in March in the first month of online child exploitation during lockdown, because these perpetrators realize that children are lonely, they're not being supervised, and they're more online. And so what actually happens, Pat, you know, and what I've seen in my own clinic is that, say, a boy or a girl, and let's say an instance, a boy gets sent a friend request from this beautiful girl. He accepts it. He checks to see have they got friends in common. They do, like you said there, they've got friends, and they start a conversation. And very quickly she asks, or she might send him an image, and then she asks for him to reciprocate it. And then he sends one back because he's excited. He's a teenager. It's all about exploration, adventure, and risk-taking. He sends one back, not thinking fully. And now she asks for something more explicit back. And when he doesn't do that, the true identity gets revealed of a, you know, more than likely a middle-aged man. And he threatens to send the image that young boy has sent to his family and his friends. Now he's caught in a very terrible bind. And that happens to children. And the crucial thing here, Pat, is an adult would find that difficult to think their way out of. A child will not have the sophistication or the cognitive abilities to think their way out of that. And if they have a difficult relationship with their parents around the devices, they will think about what will mom and dad do in this scenario. And if let's say past behavior of the parents is to overreact or to become hysterical or to ban the phone, the child more than likely won't go to the parent, and now they're caught in this terrible.
So even if you confiscate the phone for other bad behavior, you know, it may be being late for your curfew or whatever it might be, or spending time on your phone instead of doing your homework. So the parent says, I'm confiscating the phone, which is like cutting off a limb for a teenager. That teenager then becomes secretive about the phone, and when a real problem arises, may not share.
Absolutely, Pat. And that's such an important message for parents to hear. You cannot use these devices like a parenting tool, or to use it like willy-nilly for a parenting tool for the slightest indiscretion, because your child will not come to you. It's really important that you develop an open and healthy relationship with your children around their device usage. And we have to always, Pat, no matter what our children are saying to us, we have to be calm when they come to us. It's very important. And we might be told some terrible content. They might be bullied or online exploitation. We have to be calm in those moments, because when they see us hysterical or overreacting, they won't come to us again, because they won't see us as a safe space. And that's the crucial part, because abuse exists in those silent spaces.
Yeah, but also the private life of the teenager, you know, there comes a point from, you know, the cuddling of childhood then to the alienation of the teenager. And, you know, the idea that unless you're very, very sick, that your mother or father should see your naked body, even in the bath or inadvertently, you know, that'd be mortifying for a teenager. And then the idea of showing some, you know, rude picture of yourself. What did you send? You did what?
Exactly.
So how do you actually broach that subject with your child, saying, by the way, have you ever sent dick pics to da-da-da to anybody? This very difficult conversation.
It is, and teenagers will cringe at the conversation with their parents. You know, the parents, as they see them, are so out of touch. They haven't a clue what's going on in the world. And to talk about, like, say, as you said, like bodily images like that, it's so incongruent to a teenager's, you know, with desires conversation. But it's really important that we have them, that we don't shy away from them. That's the thing. They're uncomfortable. There's no doubt about it, Pat. They're uncomfortable, but we have to have them. And it's like we have to prepare them for these scenarios when they happen, and we have to show them what is a red flag, and that if a girl sends you an image very quickly, that is, you got to really come to us about that, because that's more than likely not a girl. And you just don't disseminate things, and you tell them that if you send an image out there, it's out there for good, it's out there for in perpetuity, and you don't get it back, you know. And so it's important that they understand.
So you have to have that difficult conversation at the very beginning of the smartphone adventure.
Before the smartphone comes into their life, I think you need to have a really, really interesting and funny and at times, you know, very serious conversation about what the smartphone will bring into their lives, and that conversation about potential scenarios and the perpetrators out there.
Is there any evidence, though, that these kids who will be what are described as digital natives are actually quite sussed about these things, or, you know, that it's the exception rather than the rule that someone will be taken in, or are they all taken in?
No, I think at this point, you know, the smartphone has been around now for 15 years. So these guys are absolutely, like you said, digital natives, and parents can feel like digital immigrants and are really outside the story and really positioned outside it because they don't understand it so fully. But I would say it's not the majority that this is happening to. And adolescence is a time of exploration and adventure, and risk-averse thinking, Pat, in the brain isn't developed in a sophisticated way. So they can't think about in perpetuity. They can't think about if I send this, it's going to be out there forever. So some kids fall into it, and some kids are more susceptible, and kids that aren't supervised and parents aren't involved and parents overreact, those kids are more susceptible.
Yeah. And in case people think we're being alarmist and so on and overcautious, all you have to do is look at the bosses of the tech giants and what they did or do with their kids, and they do limit smartphone usage.
Bill Gates didn't give his daughter a smartphone until she was 14.
So, you know, they're the people in the know. And if they can do it with all the wealth in the world they have, if they can do the parenting job in this way, so can you. That's the answer. Look, thank you very much for joining us on. That's Richard Hogan, Clinical Director of the Therapy Institute, columnist with the Irish Examiner and author of Parenting the Screenager.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Just in, and so good. Thousands of spring finds up to 70% off are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
How did I not know Rack has Adidas?
Why do we rack? For the hottest deals.
Save on Madewell, Vince, Kate Spade, New York, Sam Edelman, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.